More nuggets in Philippians, praise his name. Chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 27 tonight. And as the Lord has so encouraged our hearts as we get into these studies each time, let's do remember and thank the Lord. This is the joy book of the Bible. But isn't the Bible itself a joy book, praise God? But we thank the Lord that there's such a height of joy. And it shouldn't be that way in natural circumstances, because we know that Paul is in this dirty jail, this prison that we know was just filth and all of these different things. But yet, even in that squalor, even in that confinement, even in that, as man would say, loneliness, there was something God was going to give to him and grace his heart with that would be sung and spoken of throughout the ages. This will go on forever. And this precious letter that came forth while he was in this place, this joy letter, was written for the fully purposed Philadelphia saints abiding in Philippi. See, these were specific letters that were written to specific ones that wanted that truth. See, God wasn't going to waste his time. He's very exact with his word, is he not? Praise the Lord. And what's so beautiful, brothers and sisters, is Paul, the sergeant of arms, if you will, is encouraging the troops, and that's us. And by the grace of God, just like this letter was written to those Philadelphia saints at that time, this letter, as if it was written earlier this morning, you understand, and sent to us by God's grace, Philadelphia saints abiding in Denver, Colorado, and wherever else they're abiding to listen on and in, this is given to us. It's alive and well. It wasn't for a past time that is no more. This is for us right now. And I thank God for this, that it is that fresh and present, and I'll tell you what, all powerful in changing us from glory to glory into his very image. Let's go ahead and read verse 27. Only, this is Paul saying this again to us, these Philadelphia saints at heart that want to win God's best. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Now, what a command. I love this. Only let your conversation, only let your manner of life, only let your living, only let you, not all that you are, but only what you are, an epistle of the Lord. We're his. Amen? Praise God. Aren't you thankful? You're his. He bought you with the precious blood of Jesus. You are his. There's no going back. I thank the Lord for that. And I'll tell you what, he loves us, and he loves us with a godly love, and a godly jealousy is over us, because he is a jealous God. And that's not just okay with me. I like that. You're messing with me. You're messing with a jealous lover. You best watch out. And I thank God for that. And I'll tell you what, jealous over me that he's going to chasten me to be quickened always to respond to his love. He wants me to love him. That's what he wants. He desires. Everything that has been given is, Jesse, will you love me? Will you fall in love with me? I'm in love with you, honey. How wonderful. Now, The authoring and finishing of Paul's gospel. That's our life. Do you know that? He's the author and finisher of our faith. But what is this speaking of here? That our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say again, that whether I come to see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for what? For the faith of the gospel. That's it. Everything is about Paul's gospel. Everything is about this precious mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is why Paul, if you really read his words, because we know this is the Spirit, Paul loves as Christ loves. His love is protective. It sincerely loves with a godly jealousy. The language that Paul uses as if you're mine. Praise God, this is first love and none other than that. And I pray that we love one another like this. Do you understand that? This wasn't just for Paul. I pray that we love one another like that. Not there's ones that think about judging one another like that. No, this is loving. This is encouraging. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Amen? We're ready to bind wounds. We want to help one another. We are going to mess up. It's inevitable. Inevitable. But I thank God not just for my life, but I thank God for your life that count it all joy when you're in manifold temptation. It's beautiful. I rejoice for the good fight of faith going on in your life. But rejoicing always for one purpose, to win. To win, to win, to win, to run on. Come on, let's feed and rise up and let's run. And praise God, I have ones, many, praise God, I know that. That pray for me, that I pray for you. And not just pray, but fervently in this expectation that our affairs with one another, our dealings with one another, our fellowship with one another is for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Praise God. He's coming. We want to be ready. We are the Lord's. Hallelujah. We are seated in the heavens with him. Our citizenship is in heaven. And by the grace of God, let us live it and believe it. And once again, what does it say here? He wants to hear of your affairs that ye stand, that ye stand. There's a standing, withstanding, having done all to stand. And this word stand means to stand fast, to persist, to never move. You think about this. Abide till he come. Let's be pillars of Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, pillars of Paul's gospel isn't a popular thing. Matter of fact, it winds up in a prison all by itself. And it's the truth. It's not. You're not going to get the praises sung of men and, oh, look at all those great works that this one has done. It's not that, because your life will just stand to magnify the Lord. Your life, by God's grace, will just stand in this precious truth that ones that will just walk by, pass by and all these things, but all you do is stand. Hallelujah. This is where he wants us, brothers and sisters. And notice as we begin this, and this is so beautiful tonight. We'll get to the real urgency, I think, of what the Lord has placed on our hearts tonight. But notice this, it's one, 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 in Christ, amen, in him. This is about him. Everything by the grace of God to his glory. Everything. This isn't to magnify any one of us. This is to magnify our head. Hallelujah. We're joints of this precious body. We're one in him. And thanks be to God, we just love to magnify the head. And what a wonderful encouragement. But one fully purposed fellowship. Isn't that great? See, we get in here and we don't have all of these diverse dealings when we get in here. We don't have somebody come up and give a speech about this and we're going to help that and here's the other project and here's this. And by the way, we need a fundraiser and you know what? This is how you spell 1,000 with a T. No, I'm just teasing. But I've been in places like that. Unfortunately, I know of those things that go on. But aren't we thankful by the grace of God? That's foreign to us. I mean, you almost can't believe that. I'm thankful I can't believe that because I'll tell you what, I've been raised on honey. I've been raised on meat. I've been raised on a feast. That those things are, again, that's manure. Because it distracts from winning God's best. And we know this. This is the thankfulness that I pray that just continues to bubble up and bubble over. But our fellowship is fully purposed fellowship. There's nothing divided. What he's telling and commanding, perfect unity in one spirit. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, isn't it evident then what this would mean? There's so many things that the Holy Ghost does, but the things that the Holy Ghost manifests to us, he guides us into all truth, and he sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. Truth in love. Amen. The true worshiper who worships him in spirit and truth. And I think it's so beautiful because, you know, that the testimony, brothers and sisters, that abounds of those that are truly living in the hope of the coming of the Lord, they stand in all truth and they stand abundant in love. Amen. There's saints that are very loving, but if they don't have all truth, they don't know how to love you perfectly. You understand that. They can love you to an extent. It's like a child. A child can only love so much. A teenager can only love so much. But then you get ready for marriage and you better love 100% and more. But then that love even grows, doesn't it? Because then you really understand what marriage is. And as you go with the Lord, you really understand what marriage is. It's called suffering together with Christ. And gladly and thankfully and joyfully. And watching the power of the resurrection in your life over and over and over and over again. And at times when you're despairing of your own life, oh, the kisses of your lover, he comes in. Come on, let me supply you all of the warfare that you need. Put on the whole armor of God. Come on, honey, we got to come out to war. And that's it. And this is how he does this, encouraging us all the way along. So, but you stand in all truth. And you stand abundant in love. Because you can stand in a sense and have all this truth. But if you don't have love, it's going to be cold. It's not going to profit. And we know these things because the Bible tells us so. And isn't it amazing throughout Paul's gospel? See, you'll never find one without the other with Paul. You won't. You won't just find truth and you won't just find spirit. But you're always going to find them together. You're going to find spirit and truth. You're always going to have truth and love. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. And we have that and we abide in that one spirit. I'll tell you what. You know what's going to happen? We're going to finish with full joy. That's what's going to happen. And it's not just going to be a finishing with full joy. We're going to abide in full joy. See, I want to abide with you in full joy. I don't want to abide with people that don't want to abide in full joy. The Bible says there must be heresies among us. Don't want to be, isn't that good English? I just want you to know that. Don't want to be a heresy. You don't want to be. You really don't. Enter in. It's time to enter in. Put that stuff off. Oh, yes. Praise God. It's time. So in one spirit. Amen. That's our calling and that wonderful living in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost life, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, that, again, the faith in the Holy Ghost, that most holy faith. The Bible talks about this. You know what I'm saying? And that's believing the whole counsel of God. And then you have that love like a geyser coming out of your life, because that's what happens when you really accept how much the Lord loves you and you begin to really fall in love with him. There's like a geyser that comes out of your life. You can't help but love people. You may get mad for a moment. You may get mad for a moment. And I've been mad for a moment. Oh, yes, I have. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't last long. And I thank the Lord. And that's just God. We don't have time not to love. And love overcomes. And love, like I say, in this Paul's gospel, it loves perfectly. It does. It doesn't love to just an extent. It's endless. And it's in an exactness for us to win him. There's nothing else to do. It wakes us up to run on. Now, think of this. With that one mind, with the one spirit, then it says, and one mind. This speaks of one desire. This speaks of one vision. This speaks of one purpose. Now, we know this is the mind of Christ. Amen. We know that it is that mind. And as we take and let the mind of Christ reign in us, you're going to be fully purposed. You can't be anything but. If it'll reign fully, it's going to have the fullest of desire because it's his mind. It's going to have the fullest of purpose because it's his desire. It's going to have the fullest of heart and, if you will, fire because it's his passion. And that's what's so beautiful about the Lord, is that it's all given to us, isn't it? Wonderful, 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 wonderful. And here he is. Here's the word. And here's this wonderful, wonderful promise. And the promise of Paul's gospel, the promise of ruling and reigning jointly together with him, glorified together with him, descending from heaven, having his glory, to be that glory for him. That promise is all by grace through faith. It never changes. Lord, your grace, there's no limit to your grace. There's no limit to your grace. Yes, I can make it void, but I can't limit your grace. Because that grace is always full. It's always all. It's always abundant and grace for grace. So I can't limit it. I could ignore it, but I can't limit it. Because it's all. Okay? So if I will accept all grace and believe all grace, it'll transform me, praise God, into that masterpiece for him. So, here we go. With all the abundance of truth and love, that our minds, our thoughts, our desires would be one thing and only one thing, affixed to run well and to win Christ. I believe, by God's grace, that's all this is about. Do we not come in here and it's the bridal message? And you see the letter that he's writing to the Philadelphia saints in Philippi? Do you hear the letter being written to the Denver saints? Hallelujah. That are wanting to apprehend to be in that church of Philadelphia? Amen. There isn't anything else. When one say these things, I always remember that one pastor, you're too adamant about Paul. Well, thank you, Jesus. I got it. I got it. And it's not to run around and to, you know, with a hammer to hammer somebody with it. No, there is nothing else to speak of. Those disciples, they could speak to this extent or whatever it was. But then, man, when the whole gospel was poured forth, we're going to feast on the meat of the word. And in that, you have it all. Because Paul's gospel is the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Thank you, Jesus. So, think of those then that would take truth and use it to control someone. Or truth to boast in my knowledge. We know that that's not sincere. The evidence of truth and love will always be one mind for all to win him. Amen. Everyone. If you don't want everyone to win Christ, your greatest enemy, if you don't have that time where God could really sit you down, would that just be a marvel to see that man? Or maybe a brother that's hurt you so bad or hurt someone so bad. Isn't that the greatest testimony truly? Isn't that really, in a sense, one of the things that we're always waiting for? We've always got a feast ready, do we not, saints? Do we not have a coat, a ring, and are we ready to give them a holy kiss? Praise the Lord. Who would you not want to see walk through that door in sincerity to want to run to win God's best? I don't care what they did yesterday. I don't care what they did last year. I don't care what they did 30 years ago. What I care about is now, and by the grace of God, this message working in my life to love like he does. Because I know if I have any hypocrisy or dissimulation in my love, it's short. And it's not going to win him. And it's not perfect. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, we need to pray all the time. Because we still are humans. We still have to deal with this stuff. But we want to be an ointment for one another. We want to be an ointment. We want to encourage. We want to be able to come and to bring that cold cup of water and to tell a brother or sister in the Lord, you know, Jesus loves you. Now, there might be things we need to snap out of. But you know what? Let God work that and move those things. And he will do it. Now, you'll notice here that what Paul is getting at is that there's no other thought. It's beautiful. There's no other thought. There is no other mind but that of Christ in us that gives us this abounding hope to believe that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We all are that valuable. We are all that valuable, family. We're all that valuable, family. Isn't it wonderful? We're all that valuable. There's no respecter of person in here. And if you think so, it's wrong. We're all that valuable. We're the sons of God now. And I'll tell you what, I've got two and I'm fully purposed for both of them. Well, let me tell you something. I know nothing's hard for God and he's fully purposed for all of us. Amen. We need that heart. We need to enter into this unity. And then with this oneness, if you will, of spirit and this oneness of mind, here's where we're just going to rest in for the rest of this night. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Don't think that you're some trailblazer on your own. I've been there in that romantic lie. No. God has brought us here. By God's grace, we're Philadelphia saints, folks. We're the most valuable things for all eternity. And I can say things because the Lord says, I'll perform it in the thing that I have sent it. How could he call me a thing? Because the Bible did. Amen? Priceless. Matter of fact, so priceless, it said that that merchant sold all that he had. They were all, and this on my heart, maybe even for Sunday, all them pearls, but there was one. There was one. Coming out of the sea. The Gentiles. Coming out. You're it. You're it. Amen. And that's all he wants. Brother, isn't it wonderful? We don't have to prove ourselves to him, do we? Just thank him. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this. And then I want to study. Then I want to show that, you know, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I'll study this word gladly because I want to know you. But it is imperative, brothers and sisters, that this love dwell in us if we ever expect to win. What are Philadelphia saints? It means brotherly love. Brotherly love. Us four and no more, or I'm going to be good on my own, or I don't need that kind of fellowship to win. Let me tell you something. You have missed it, and you better wake up. That stuff doesn't exist. It does not. You will not find those words in Paul's gospel. You will not find those words spoken by Brother Paul. And those that have followed Paul as he followed Christ, that was not their pattern. The importance of fellowship and fellow love, that we dwell and settle down in marriage and the marriage doctrine together. Turn over to Psalm 133, verse 1. This is such a beautiful, the beautiful psalms here, the Psalms of Degrees. But this precious little 133, it's just three verses. But in the 133rd Psalm, this is sweet David. He says, "Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I mean, just right there, it's like, wow, that's just so wonderfully sweet. Now, let's go down a few layers here by the Holy Ghost. Behold, how rich, and how pleasure it is for brethren, oh my, it's going to get pretty deep, to dwell together. That means, it means in the Hebrew, to sit on a throne and take in marriage. Now, why would David be singing of that? For me, this was a song that was given by the Holy Ghost. They wrote those things for us? Well, I'm going to tell you something. They sang them too. And he sang that for me. Now, I'm telling you, this is exactly the translation of this. So how rich and how much pleasure it is for brethren to sit on a throne and take in marriage. And then it says, together in unity. It's the same word. It's the same word spoken twice. It means united and united in one place, in the midst of the throne. I believe that's where we dwell. Is that not where we dwell? I'm not kidding. Is that not where our faith dwells? I'm talking about our faith. I'm talking about the message that we believe. Do you believe there's any other message for your life? Honestly. Honestly, do you believe there's any other message for your life but to win Christ, to rule and to reign jointly together with him in the midst of the throne? There is no other message for me, and I know there's no other message for you. And this is exactly what this is saying, is how rich and how much pleasure. Now, it is to us, but how much more? To the head. But see, we're settling down in marriage with one another right now. And how do we settle down in marriage? As we go back, as what we read there in Philippians, it says it right there. How do we do this? We stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, that we don't move from it. See, this is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Think of all the religions of the world. They've all changed. They've all got different rules. It's moved from century to century to century. Every one of them. Paul's gospel has never changed. It has never changed because it's the word of his grace. It is the word of God. It's not a bunch of man's ordinances that change. I think about the foolishness of what was. You used to have to pay for divorces in certain ones, and you have to do this, and you know, and I don't even want to go into all of them. But you know what I'm saying. I don't need to go at that. Let's stay with the truth. But let me tell you something. The truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I would just think anybody that would love the word of God, wouldn't they wake up if I was in a religion that changed? God doesn't change. His word endures forever. It never changes. It's all laid out, bam, and it's done. And here we rejoice in this. And thank you, Jesus, that, yeah, we're a handful of, as the world would look at, maybe kooky, a religious world, oh, they're crazies. As long as they stay there, they're okay for now. But that's, again, you talk about the rejoicing. Don't ever take this for granted. I thank God that in a sense it's common to us, but it ain't common. This is very uncommon. This is very rare. This is gold, silver, and precious stone stuff. It's all there for every life. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So this just isn't for our club or our church. This is for God's people. This is for everyone. But they don't want this. This is why Paul, when he preached to all of those thousands, all those years, 30-some years. But yet here he is at the end. He's writing this letter to one church. Think of that. It's honing in my heart more and more all the time. You don't realize how valuable you are to God. This is where he's honing in this letter. Do you see that? People that are our family are in so many different things. They're caught up in all of these different things. It's good. And then some are even caught up into acceptable. But then you get over here to the perfect will of God. I tell you what, many don't want to go there. You're talking just a few. And that's, again, all by the grace of God. But look at that. We got to go back to the 133rd Psalm again, because you have to see what this does. It's so awesome. It's so, so wonderful. So, behold, how rich, how much pleasure it is for us, brethren, to sit on a throne and take in marriage. United and united in one place. What a double portion. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. What is Aaron representing, huh? Amen, the prophet, hallelujah, the word, our Lord. Do you see how you anoint him? Hallelujah. When we take this, it's pouring all over him. Yes, it's a glory. Don't you want to be this glory to him? And this is anointing him right now in heaven. There's just euphoria. Oh, hallelujah. This is it. The bride for the son. She hath made herself ready. And this is the readying all by the grace of God. So, I pray we see this importance, brothers and sisters, as we move along. The striving together, the seeking jointly together, contending for this prize together. This is the proof of brotherly love. It is. We care for one another in this. This is the Philadelphia church. This is the proof of spiritual ones that are ready to restore. This is the proof of humbled ones, always realizing the supplying joints of the body are vital for your welfare. Do you know we need that? Do you know we need one another? And I'm talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Us coals need to be together. That's why we assemble ourselves the much the more as we see that day approaching. Because you will grow cold if you don't. If you have the opportunity to gather and you don't, it won't last. Because this is God's way. And it hit me that time early on as the Lord called me into pastoring about loving his appearing. Where is the most glorious of his appearing that we daily have or can have in our lives? It's seeing people that are running and following Paul as he followed Christ. Do you not see the appearing of the Lord as we read about Paul writing these things? Do you not see the appearing in that man? And when Paul came in, you knew, you know what, Jesus, and not in a sense that he's Jesus, you understand that, but man, Jesus appeared in such glory, hallelujah. It's like Moses as he walked down, his face was so glowing, they had to cover it. Well, thanks be to God, the veil has been lifted. We can see these things, and we can see this glory, and more importantly, we don't just behold it, we understand it transforms us to be that glory for him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm thankful for the moon, but I want to be a sun glory. I want it within me. Hallelujah. I want to descend from heaven having his glory for him. That's what he wants. And this is something to get excited about. If you're not, you need to have a heart check. Now, so we go on. Brothers and sisters, Paul magnified this to his last breath in prison. Come share the gospel with me. He always wanted to share the gospel, Paul's gospel, with brothers and sisters. He wanted them to minister it to him, and he wanted to minister it to them. He wanted that fellowship. He did. Longed for it. And that's what, you know, he didn't say, I long to get out of here. Come break me free. No, I said, come and bring me the word. Come bring me the word. I know God, he as far as my location is, he's got that. But I want you to come and bring me the word of God. Hallelujah. Now notice, it's for the faith of Paul's gospel. It's the faith of the gospel. What we understand this is speaking of in this Philippian letter, it's the faith of Paul's gospel. Believing the bride is for you and for me. That is what he's referring to here when he says strive together. Brothers and sisters, we need to fight together. We need to abide together. We need to be living together in this marriage doctrine to stay in it. We need to stay married. We need to stay and remain in first love. Amen? And care for one another in that. Praise God. To give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I'm going to close tonight with a little testimony. I mentioned it on a Friday night a few weeks back. But this came from fellowship from a one spirit, one mind guy. And he's not here, so I can talk about him. Brother Walter. It was very sweet. We got to go to lunch together. This was the lunch before we went up to camp. And so I didn't know he would be there, but he was at the same little place to get some fast food. And so we ate together. And how God directs your conversation, I was just, for some reason, thinking about soldiers and servicemen. And, you know, I know that Walter had been in the service. He'd been in Vietnam, and I've always been so thankful. The ones that were in my family that had given service to the country, and those men and women that, again, have given service. We have a great debt, and we need to be thankful for our soldiers. And as we hear often in this place, to pray for them. Most importantly, that they turn to God and that they remember the Lord as they're out there defending this precious country God's given us. But I said, you know, Walter, I said, as we were talking through, I said, so, you know, we always hear about love of country. Did you go to battle, or, you know, and you think about these soldiers? Was it because of love of country? And he shook his head. He said, oh, no. And he didn't say it was because I got drafted, because we were talking about in general with all of the things. He said, really, we went into battle because of the love of my brother. And I said, really, it's, you know, because I had never had that privilege. And when I say privilege, I never also gave that sacrifice. But there was a privilege that, I'll tell you, service people, I believe, know and have been graced with. And I think there's such a type and parallel and analogy here with our fighting together to win Christ. But here's what he said. I said, what do you mean about for your brother? He said, well, you've heard the phrases, the band of brothers. You've heard the phrase, no one left behind. I said, well, how did that get developed? How did they develop that in you, Walter? He says, well, you know, when you go into a group of guys, and he says, and you live together, and you eat together, and you sleep together, you strive together, you get in trouble together. Because if one gets in trouble, you all get in trouble. And then you correct each other together. He said that was another kind of thing. But he says, and then you fight together. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And he said, you know, a lot of people would even ask me, he said, were you afraid, in a sense, to die? And he said, yes, but not for the reason that you thought that I'd be afraid to die. I didn't want to die because I didn't want to let my soldier mate down in what we were supposed to accomplish in that battle. Think of that love, if you will, for your brother, your soldier, if you will, at arms with you. Think of the gravity when we quit. That didn't just affect you. It can affect a lot of other people. But think of the gravity when you get back up and you engage. Do you realize once again how valuable you are? Not just to your family, which is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. You want to be a testimony in your household. But what about those that by the grace of God, God has allowed you to encourage? You know what I'm saying? That you are a testimony to somebody. I don't want to be a testimony, well, Jesse ran well. I don't want to be a thought of a long time ago. I want to be that, you know what? He's running. Amen. You know what? I like that testimony. I like your testimony. I like your testimony. These are all such beautiful masterpieces of testimonies that we have in here. But we have one purpose, don't we? We're running. And we've all gone through some things, but see, we've gone through those things, as the Word of God says, you know why? So we can comfort one another. Why do you think Paul embraced, hey, I'm the chief of sinner. I'm encouraging everybody out there that messed up. Everybody that's an evil, wretched man. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, man. He's the same God for you, Jesse. It's the same power of his might that'll have you to finish with a full joy, son. We're one. We're one. We're very valuable in this oneness that God has given us. And I pray we really, really know how valuable to me winning and to you winning in my life is. I don't want to quit. There's times I want to quit. I'll tell you, I'm telling you right now, there's times it's like, But I thank the Lord. His love. I know it's for me. But I'll tell you what, I know it's for you too. And we love one another, don't we? We love one another. The very best intentions for one another. And pray for ones that don't have it. Really. Because see, we have one goal, we have one victory. And we hear this calling of those things that Walter was talking about in Christ in us. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says it like this in verse 13. So beautiful. Paul says, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto, and it's not just unity of faith and la-di-da and the knowledge of the Son of God, oh yeah, he's the Savior. No. Paul really defines it here in the Holy Ghost. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's incredible. And listen to this, till we all come. This was his heart for us who have received this message. This is what we have. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. We just agree on it, honeys. You know what? It's just what it is. It's just who we are. We're it. That's great. It's amazing great. And here we are, and what? Of the faith of Paul's gospel. Of the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge, that depth of knowledge. And what? Unto a perfect. That means that we agree to come to the knowledge, settle down in the unity of it. That perfect means that we come fully grown and furnished. To the measure means the requirement to be fit and full. To the stature means to the height, the fullness, being suitable for marriage. And as it says, the fullness of Christ, it means complete abundance, that which fills up and completes, as we know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're growing up into that readied company, that readied wife for him. We will grow in that brotherly love, brothers and sisters, as we see this and as we see one another in that value. and in the body, in the value of this body. Thank the Lord for the love that he's given us. Amen. Romans 9:3, Paul says that he would be accursed for his brethren. Did you know that? Because he loved them so much. Do we love one another like that? How Paul loved fighting the good fight of faith together with his brethren. How he wanted them all to win. Do you get excited to come to a Bible study? Get excited to come to a prayer meeting? Do you get excited to come to see your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Amen. I pray we're excited to see everyone in here. And I pray that we long when we're not seeing somebody coming. I thank God when we see new ones. I thank God when the Lord, you know, again, draws hearts to hear this message. And I leave it to God. You know what? He that wills to know will know. And his learning curve's like this. And he'll take you so quickly, it'll make your heart spin. Paul would give his own life for them to win. But he knew he had to win for them, and they had to win for him. That's a band of brothers. We're out here to war. I'm not out here to fail. I'm out here to win. Are you out here to win? I don't want to be around people that don't want to win if I'm going to war. Well, let's just give it a good try, Jess. No, we're not doing that. I ain't going out there and getting killed if we're just going to try. See, we know we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen. We know that the victory's already been won. Amen. So see, I need to be around brethren that have that full assurance of faith for my life. That can remind me, you know what, honey, you're called and you're chosen. God's placed you perfectly, brother, in the body where he wants you. That's who I want to be with, because I know that's spiritual. And I want to be that one with you. Or I'm not going to be a supplying joint of the body. Now, the incredible love and devotion, when we realize and become enlightened to that we're compacted and tightly fit, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's one body, folks. And that's us. So I think I'm bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh too. We are that to one another. This is Paul's bridal gospel body. We have the same mission to finish with a full joy. We fight a good fight by the grace of God. We keep the faith. We finish this course. We will receive a crown together with our brother sergeant of arms Paul and all them that love his appearing. And just going back and again reading how it finishes out. And I love this. Brothers and sisters, when we have this encouragement, it helps us. It helps us to be encouraged that don't be terrified by your adversaries. Don't be terrified by your adversaries. I want to encourage each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. Through Christ, you can do all things. That devil is a liar. Amen, he's a liar. You have a perfect life of before ordained good works to walk therein. You may have really messed up, but all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? To them that are called according to his purpose, we know that. And I'll tell you what, I'm called according to his highest purpose. And I know you are too, because this is our message. I know it wasn't, well, that was just for me. No, it wasn't. We're hearing this gospel. This letter is being read tonight. Philadelphia Church in Denver. Praise God. You see, so we're not terrified. And to them, it's an evident token of perdition, but to you, of salvation, that of God. So here we go now. For unto you, this has been given to us, brothers and sisters, in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We're going to suffer. Yes, we are. By the grace of God, because it's given as a marital gift. That's what that word given is. Having the same conflict, that means the same battle and struggle which you saw in me and now here to be in me. We have the same conflict. We're battling to win Christ. We are going on for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are here by his grace to win Christ Jesus as bridegroom, to apprehend him. I love this. Are we not good soldiers by the grace of God? Well, what do? They're violent and they take heaven by force. Isn't that wonderful? It's an honor. It's an honor to be in this battle with you. Amen. I'll tell you. The companies, yeah, we're lovers, but we're fighters. We're warriors. Oh, we look like a misfit band here, I know. But I'll tell you one thing. In faith, there ain't any stopping. You know what I'm saying? It's lethal. It's so all-powerful. Because that's the height of the love of Christ. It's so amazing. And then to just close it out here, going back to Ephesians chapter 4. Here we go. This is to us tonight. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. See, it's exact. You are called to this. This isn't a maybe. You are called to this vocation. And this vocation is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're called to this. That's it. With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing what? One another in love. This is in love. And these are these things by the grace of God. We don't be haughty with one another. We bear one another in a lowly way, in a meek way. By the grace of God, we want to lift one another up and encourage each other in these things of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful. And we suffer long with one another. We forbear one another. Let's be patient with one another. Let's be patient. Amen? Tender. We want to be about the gospel. And if someone's about the gospel and they have that heart for the gospel, let me tell you something, be patient. Wait on the Lord. And what? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. It's ours. This is our hope, the hope of our calling. There is one purpose. And by the grace of God, I love this. Let's take the bridegroom by force. I love that. You do. You get in there. All them Gentile brides, were they shy? No. No. They were doing some unseemly things. They just get in there. And they go after it. And I thank the Lord. I pray that we love each other just a little bit more tonight. Because you know what we should? Be thankful. Be thankful for the word, but be thankful for these earthen vessels that have treasure, the height of treasure to the Lord. Highly esteemed. Praise be to God. Let's stand, be dismissed.